Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Top of the morning to you and a happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. Patrick Conley with you here on the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. It's great to be with you on this St. Patrick's Day. Yes, it's a time to celebrate, a time when everybody is at least a little bit Irish on St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, I usually like to give the reminder that since we are in the middle of Lent, that we shouldn't eat meat on Fridays. But here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, it being Friday today, and unless, of course, you're listening to the rebroadcast, but it being Friday today, we have the dispensation to eat meat. But a quick reminder that if you choose not to, or if you choose to eat meat this Friday, this day, then you are obliged to do some other act of penance or charity in place of taking advantage of the dispensation today. But I think it's great. We've had a long tradition here in this archdiocese of the dispensation when St. Patrick's Day falls on a Friday during Lent. So we are celebrating today. We are celebrating Glorious St. Patrick. And let's not forget that in the midst of celebrating our Irish heritage and some of the influences that the Irish Catholics have had, particularly in this area, in this archdiocese, which we will be talking about today on the show today, that we need to honor and specifically look to the person of St. Patrick and who and what he did. He is known because he is a saint. I know, believe it or not, right? He is the saint, the patron saint of Ireland, the saint who brought the gospel message to the Celts back in the 4th and 5th century. So it's he who we are honored today. We look to him to guide us and pray for us and lead us. We've got a great show lined up today all around St. Patrick and St. Patrick's Day. So we're going to be talking with Dan Murphy, the president of the Ancient Order of Hibernians, the Archbishop John Ireland Division 4. We're also going to be talking with Daniel Kabinski, who is a cathedral parishioner who reads the epistle. He actually speaks modern Irish, and he's going to be reading the epistle at the St. Patrick's Day Mass at the cathedral just in a little bit here. We're going to speak with him. And then we have a very special guest in the person of Archbishop Emeritus Harry Flynn. He is with us, and he'll join us after about 9:30 or so. So we've got a great show lined up today. I hope you can stick with us. We're going to be talking about St. Patrick. We're going to be talking about his influence specifically here through his spiritual heirs, I guess you could say, and their influence here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. So I'm hoping you can tune in for the whole thing, but if you happen to be on your way to the Hibernian Mass at the Cathedral of St. Paul, starts at 9:30, so you can still make it if you're in the area, then I would encourage you to listen as long as you can, and then certainly go in. And that's the greatest way of honoring St. Patrick today, is to take part in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, of course, honoring our Lord and Savior above all, for that's what St. Patrick did. So let's, as always, pause, though, as we begin the show and dedicate the show to the intercession and through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And since I have it on good authority that my own Irish accent is very bad, I'm not going to try that again. But stick with us. We'll be back right after this break.
Finally, a pharmacy that helps you manage your diabetic medications. Pay attention to this important message, which could change your life. PillPack is a next-generation pharmacy that packages your medication by the dose and delivers it directly to your door. We'll even include your insulin, testing supplies, and any vitamins you regularly take. You'll never sort your pills or hassle with trips to the pharmacy again. And if you take 5 or more medications, you may qualify for $25 of free vitamins. PillPack is a free service with free shipping. All you pay are your regular copays, and we do the rest, including verifying insurance and transferring prescriptions. There's no extra cost or hidden charges. We accept most insurance and Medicare Part D. Our team is available 24/7. And if you're traveling or need your diabetic medications now, we will overnight your shipment for no additional cost. PillPack offers the same prices you're already paying, but gives you a whole lot more. Switch to the only pharmacy designed to fit your life by calling 800-413-8868. 800-413-8868. 800-413-8868.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. My Irish brogue is terrible, so I'm not even going to try. But I am Patrick, so as I've already said, I'm named after St. Patrick, even by Protestant parents. So it's a great privilege to me to, well, you know, this is a day that is a high solemnity in my household. So there's no question but what St. Patrick's Day is a solemnity in our household. However, that doesn't mean that I go against the teachings and the restrictions of the church during Lent, but certainly some of my own Lenten practices I lay aside. One of the things that happens frequently and is happening today, happening this morning at the Cathedral of St. Paul, is the annual Hibernian Mass, a Mass sponsored by and put together by the Ancient Order of Hibernians, celebrating the Irish heritage of our area and indeed Irish Catholics throughout the world. And so we're privileged to have with us today Dan Murphy, who is the president of the Archbishop John Ireland Division 4 of the Ancient Order of Hibernians, that's based here in Ramsey County. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Thank you. Happy St. Patrick's to everyone.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So tell us a little bit about the Ancient Order of Hibernians. What is it and how did it come about and what are its goals, values, and mission?
Well, the Ancient Order of Hibernians is the, it came out of Ireland in the early 1600s when England implemented its dreaded penal laws.
Mm.
And we were to protect the lives of priests who risked immediate death to keep the Catholic faith alive. The Ancient Order of Hibernians in America is the oldest, largest Catholic Irish fraternal organization, which was founded in 1836.
Okay. It's quite some time ago, 1836.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And what is a fraternal organization, but what do you seek to do? How do you forward Irish culture and values and Irish Catholic culture and values?
Well, this can be summed up best by our motto of friendship, unity, and Christian charity. The friendship shall consist of helping one another and assisting each other to the best of our power. The unity is combining together for mutual support in the sickness and in distress. And then the Christian charity is loving one another and doing to all people as we would wish they should do to us.
That sounds familiar. It seems like I've heard that somewhere before. Yeah, very good. So how long, you said it's been, did you say it's been a chapter here in the Twin Cities since 1836, or was that just when it came to the U.S.?
That's when it was founded in the U.S. Our chapter was founded in 1887.
1887, wow. Okay, so it's been around for quite some time as well.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. So from your perspective, do you have any kind of unique insight through rubbing shoulders with, or maybe you yourself have done some of this work, about the Irish influence, specifically here in the Twin Cities, in Ramsey County, and as the AOH chapter there is, but also just here in the Twin Cities?
Well, the Irish culture, especially here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, it's promoting the art, dance, music, and the sports that are fostered and preserved. Newcomers can meet some of their own as an Irish and are introduced to the social atmosphere of the Irish-American community.
Mm-hmm.
The AOH has been at the political forefront for issues concerning the Irish, such as immigration reform, economic incentives, both here and in Ireland, human rights issues, right to life issues, and then a peaceful and just solution to the issues that divide Ireland, which is in Northern Ireland.
Sure, sure, yeah. What does that look like? Are there specific ways that the AOH plays into fostering conversations or dialogue between Catholics and Protestants and that sort of thing?
Well, we have monthly meetings. Our national board is probably more at the forefront of that. But at the state level, in the division level, we do talk about it, and we just keep the conversation going. We like to educate other people about what's going on in Ireland, so they completely understand the story and the situation.
Okay. Right. Well, that's, I mean, education is obviously part and parcel to us moving forward in terms of resolving some of the troubles, certainly. So here in the Twin Cities, or the chapter here, how large is it? I mean, how many people are actually involved?
We have approximately 85 members.
85. Okay.
Correct.
And are these by and large all Catholic?
Yes.
Okay. All right, but I'm assuming at various parishes around the Archdiocese, is that correct?
Yes, we've got members from all over the Twin Cities, but again, like I said, Division 4 is based in Ramsey County. At the turn of the century, there used to be many divisions sprinkled throughout the St. Paul, Minneapolis, southern Minnesota, northern Minnesota.
Okay, so all these things have, all these different divisions have coalesced into just the one now?
We have two divisions currently in the state of Minnesota. One is Division 1, which is in the south, and then our division.
Okay, very good. Well, let's talk about this Mass that's coming up here, or that's going on today in the Cathedral of St. Paul. How long has the AOH been sponsoring a St. Patrick's Day Mass here in the area?
Well, we have a current member who joined in 1954, and he remembers that the Mass has been going on for at least that long. He also seemed to think that it's been held annually since the 30s, possibly even the 40s.
Wow. Okay. And is it specifically, I've attended a couple times, and maybe some of our listeners haven't, so give us a sense for what makes it special. What's uniquely, say, Irish about it?
Well, we have an Irish reader, so the first and second readings are usually done in Gaelic. We also sing Irish songs to begin the Mass, end the Mass, and then we usually try and have one of the archbishops to kind of celebrate. The homily is usually geared upon what the Irish have done, specifically St. Patrick and some of the other saints that have come out of Ireland and the good that they've done.
Right. Wow. And then there's the AOH is part of the procession, too, if memory serves.
Yes.
Right. And that's pretty great. And, you know, having attended, I know that, man, the wearing of the green, people take that pretty seriously around here.
Yes, we do.
That's right. Yeah. And most people are probably headed down the hill shortly after Mass or after. There's usually a breakfast involved, too. Am I right about that?
Yes, there's an annual Hibernian brunch, which immediately follows the Mass in the hall in the basement of the cathedral.
Right. So maybe some people are listening as they're making their way there right now, or maybe they're close enough to the cathedral that they can go and they can attend the Mass and then have some breakfast. And then I believe a lot of people tend to head down the hill to downtown St. Paul for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And yeah, and it's pretty festive.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, my understanding is, have you attended the parade, actually, Dan?
Yes, the Hibernians have marched in the parade for the last couple of years, and we usually will pair up with our brothers from Division 1 in southern Minnesota.
Oh, very good. Wow, so there's representation out there as well in the parade.
Yes.
Ah, very good, very good. So why might somebody want to join the AOH? Is this something that are you still accepting and receiving members?
Yes. We are always looking for new members. These are people, I guess membership is open to any man who is 16 years or older, who's a practicing Roman Catholic of Irish birth or descent, and who happens to be a citizen of the United States, or has intentions to become a citizen of the United States. So we, again, it goes back to promoting your Irish heritage, being involved with the Irish American community and just doing good.
Mm. Right. And you said there's monthly meetings involved?
Correct. Our division currently meets on the fourth Tuesday of every month in downtown St. Paul. Meetings usually last about an hour, followed by a fellowship.
Nice. And what takes place in these meetings typically?
Well, the February meeting, we discuss plans for our huge St. Patrick's Day Hibernian Mass, which we're celebrating today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot that goes into that. We have to meet with the cathedral officials. We have to get an honor guard. We have to line up dignitaries, invite dignitaries, and just make sure that everything is ready to go. Other meetings, we will discuss different events that we host for fundraising, stuff like that.
Okay. All right. And one of the things I do appreciate specifically about the work, and I have to be honest, even though I am of Irish heritage, I have not investigated the AOH that profoundly. But one of the things that I do appreciate is that this is a way for people to understand that it's St. Patrick's Day, and St. Patrick's influence is not simply something about, you know, drinking bad green beer, but it's, you know, it's much more than that. And St. Patrick was a real man. He was a obviously a great evangelist for the Lord, and set about the conversion of the people of, well, Hibernia. So, right. So there wasn't an Ireland, so to speak, at that point. But there's actually a lot of good that has come from his work, and we need to continue to celebrate that and perpetuate that today in bringing Catholic values, Catholic beliefs to bear on the people in general. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and that's part of the AOH's understanding, I assume, as well?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
And is there somewhere online that we can go if we're interested in more information about the Ancient Order of Hibernians?
Yes. The Archbishop John Ireland Division 4 website is aohmn.com.
Okay.
And then the national website is aoh.com.
aoh.com. Okay, very good. And is there membership information on there as well?
Yes. Our website is chock full of information. There's links to about us, news and events. There's different programs, and then there is a link about membership, in which you can fill out a application, and then you can forward it on to us. We'll review it, probably invite any interested parties to a meeting and discuss what we are, what we are about, what we're going to do, and then we go from there.
Yeah, very good. Well, obviously, with your day being chock full today with the Mass and also with the parade and the brunch and everything that's going on, I do have to ask, do you have any other traditions yourself personally that you do for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I am a busy man on St. Paddy's Day.
Yes.
I will probably attend the parade afterwards, or followed by the brunch and then the parade. I have a daughter who Irish dances. I may make my way down to the Landmark Center, watch her dance. This is a busy weekend for the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
And then we usually try and get together with family and friends at some point during the day. It's busy.
So. Right. Right, to celebrate the day.
Correct.
Well, Dan Murphy, president of the Archbishop John Ireland Division 4, based here in Ramsey County, Division 4 of the Ancient Order of Hibernians, thank you, here in Ramsey County. It's been great having you on, Dan. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Patrick.
You're listening to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. Patrick Connolly with you. And joining us now in studio is a man by the name of Daniel Kubinski, who, although his name might not sound entirely Irish, has quite a familiarity with the Irish and Irish language, actually. He is frequently the reader of one of the scripture readings, the Proclaimer of the Word at the Hibernian Mass. And he reads it not in English, but in Irish. And so welcome to the program, Daniel. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Patrick. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So I guess we'll start off by asking you specifically about the language. First of all, you know, I have a lot of people asking me or they'll say, oh, he reads in Gaelic. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know if Irish and Gaelic are the same. Are they the same?
Yes and no. You could refer to Irish as a Gaelic language, but the word Gaelic unqualified would usually refer to a derivative of Middle Irish that is now spoken in the more remote regions of Scotland. So I have two books on my shelf at home, for example. One is Teach Yourself Irish and the other is Teach Yourself Gaelic. So if you go out and buy an English to Gaelic dictionary, you are not actually studying a language that is spoken anywhere in Ireland.
Got it. So a Gaelic is a larger umbrella.
Right. It would be a subfamily of the Celtic language family. The three would be modern Irish, Scotch Gaelic, and Manx, which I believe the last native speaker of Manx passed away sometime in the early 20th century, and that would have been spoken in the Isle of Man, which lies between the British mainland and Ireland and the Irish Sea.
Wow. Wow. Fascinating. How did you come to learn all this stuff?
Well, I years ago, when I was a sophomore in college, I had started studying Latin, and I discovered that I kind of have a head for grammars, and the Irish history and culture had been something that interested me since I was a little kid. By way of a little bit of biographical information, my brother and I are both adopted, and that's something that I've always known. And one of the earliest memories that I have was my mother explaining our national origins to us, and that Daniel is primarily Irish and German, and my brother Paul, who is a little blonde guy, is primarily Norwegian and German. And that's, you know, you learn these little factoids about yourself before you really know what they mean, and you sort of incorporate what they mean as a part of your lived experience. And I think when I was about 19 years old, I heard a few words of Irish spoken somewhere, maybe in a movie, and I thought, I'm going to get a book and see what that's about.
When you were 13?
19.
19.
Yeah, I was 19, a sophomore in college, and it's something that started as sort of a hobby, sort of quickly developed into something to consume more and more of my time, and later that year found me in a little town in Carrow, which is on the coast of County Galway, where Irish is still the community language. And basically I was on a summer course where 40 hours a week, my job was to learn Irish.
40 hours a week?
Yeah, just about.
Learning
Irish.
Yeah, wow.
full days of classes and living in homes of families who speak Irish in this community where it is still the living spoken language of the place.
Right. So it wasn't just the classroom experience, but it was...
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking out in the...
You go and have a pint and you order it in Irish and all of that, yeah.
That just sounds wonderful to me. I mean, on St. Patrick's Day, I want to be there.
Right.
Exactly. So how close do you think, staying on the linguistic track for a second, how close do you think the language in which you have learned, the modern Irish, is to the language that, you know, St. Patrick would have encountered in Hibernia in the, 4th and 5th centuries there?
Well, I think certainly similar. I think the earliest written text that we have in Old Irish is the Psalter of St. Columba, and I think that's a couple hundred years after St. Patrick. So definitely there's a direct sort of lineage, for lack of a better word, but I think... the thing about pre-Christian Ireland is that it wasn't really Romanized.
Yeah.
So the influence of Latin would have been entirely absent. And it's really Christianity that was the result of, one of the results of that was the importation of the Roman alphabet to written Irish. So the written Irish would have been entirely different prior to the introduction of the Roman alphabet.
Sure.
So similar, but certainly a lot of the loan words that have come in from the Latin language and the influence of English would have been absent.
Okay, got it. So just out of curiosity, do you have any other languages in your back pocket?
Yes, I studied, I think at one time or another, I've taken every Latin class that the University of St. Thomas here in St. Paul offers. So my degree is in classical languages. So I primarily Latin, some ancient Greek, a little bit of Spanish. I've forgotten most of it. And then a little bit of German and some French.
Well, knowing, I know Daniel, for the sake of our listeners, Daniel and I know each other from the Cathedral of St. Paul, where Daniel is there at daily mass and then helping to lead our sung morning prayer. Here's a plug for our sung morning prayer. We could certainly use more people joining us after morning mass every weekday morning in sung morning prayer. And so that's a good thing. So I'm just curious, with all this linguistic study, do you ever get to proclaim the word, or I'm obviously Latin, in terms of ecclesiastical usage, but do you ever proclaim the word in any of the other languages that you've studied?
No, not proclaiming the word in other languages, although I do it in English fairly regularly at the cathedral. The other event, and here's another little plug, the other event that our listeners might be interested in would be the Irish Fair of Minnesota, which takes place the second weekend of August on Harriet Island. The first event on the Sunday morning is a 9 o'clock open air mass, and it's never rained on me once in the years I've been going to that.
Wow!
And the first two scripture readings will be in Irish, and I've been proclaiming at that particular event for I think about 13 years.
That's unbelievable. I love it. Okay, 13 years. Well, I mean, I know that our listeners are just they're champing at the bit now. They want to hear some.
Oh, sure.
So I'm wondering if you might actually, do you have the reading with you there that is proclaimed at the Hibernian Mass?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And this
Yeah. So first of all, I mean, obviously, we have a response as the congregants.
Naturally.
Yes, naturally. So, but I'm guessing we don't just say thanks be to God, but we say it in Irish, don't we?
If you're up to it, yes.
Okay. All right. So teach us first what the response is. I'm going to have to write this down.
Well, the words that you're listening for, yeah, the word of the Lord is brihuritirna. And your response, thanks okay be to God, is Buichos le Zia.
Maybe I won't write this down. Say it one more time.
Buichos
le Zia. Le Zia. Not even close, maybe? I don't know. Okay.
Close enough. Close enough for jazz.
Buichos? No, not even.
Buichos le Zia.
Le Zia. Okay. Okay, I've written down something that's probably not even close.
If it's helpful to you.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, and what are we going to hear?
The reading for this morning's Mass would be the story of the betrayal of Joseph by his brothers. They're first planning to murder him and then decide, well, no, we don't want to shed his blood. We'll just toss him in a dry cistern and let him go on his own, and then finally end up selling him to a caravan of passing Ishmaelites.
Okay, so this is Daniel Kubinski reading the proclamation of the word from the book of Genesis in modern Irish.
Ishlochtas leor Genesis. Bobo un kin the via Israel er Yosef na erin den el ranchon margore makahanisha. Agus rinisha kotelim winchili fadago. Norochanek irarchoi gorbo un kin vi egenahed er na erin den el ranchon. Hagadur fóra agus néitidís erdis fokul mwintere a laudlis. Dime eirarachoi chun tréad an ahar a chorar férasach en ake le shekim. Dort Israel le Iosaf. Nachul de eirarachoi a gyrachs an tréad a shekim. Tsena manesh agus sholam a hokabu. Dime Iosaf inia eirarachoi ag anshin agus fursa ia de notan. Chanekar der wadwoba agus soladonik shen a gungar Rinnidur cogr celge e waru. Seahogin a dúrdur le chéle, ferna daivre. Tienegi mari misha agus kamisha baulegina. Dirimid gur alp anavi alta e. Agus fecumid cad harlo dachoids taivre. Chul rúbe na chanchin agus hirse on na lava gara. Na mari misha, na dórtagi ein vrín fulla ar sa rúbe in lob. Kagi shaks balsha snasucha. Ach, na himrige lav dæregeid. Marsin isha lausha, agus e arintinege e hiru on lava, agus a hort a rasht a ahed. Nur a hannik Yosef a lahed, a irarachoi davrishin, wanere a chotage, an chotelech na winchili fada a vi a chaige. Agus vroga dorej, agus kader a baula, bien pal fala gan e nishkan. Anshin hirder shis kan bia. Hogadur a súle agus chanakadur buin Ishmaelach a tacht o Gilead len na gamul agus siad fwy olach gumma agus tragakant agus balsam agus reshin a vi a chort shis chan na hegypte akub. Anshin dort iuda len a irarachoi. Cain tarifar a gwoan an nirachar a waru agus o chyd fulla a alach. Tainu dílamish leis na Ishmael a ach na lagamish laver. Se nirachar a a vil hain, agus yel a yirarachoi go. Yel a dure fichi shekel argid lesh ni hishmeyna. Bri hura tirna.
Bri hus ledzia.
Come on.
Closest?
Very good.
Close? All right. Very. Wow. Fantastic. That is just amazing. Thank you, Daniel.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know what? I think we just picked up about 30 or 40 new listeners who, you know, were going through the radio dials and now they heard Irish, they heard their mother tongue, and right, they're going to stick with us now. That's great. Wow, that's fantastic. So, of course, you know, you could pick up some of the proper nouns that, you know, had familiar sounds to sure them, but throughout, but there's obviously a lot that you just couldn't even place necessarily. So, is there much of a connection? I mean, you were saying before how Latin hadn't even come to the Isles
exactly
at this point and everything. So there's not really necessarily a lot that we would expect to see similar between English roots.
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. English being a Germanic right, in its origin, and Celtic being an entirely different grammar and
completely different family. Do you write in modern Irish as well?
I do. I mean, I can. I don't have occasion to very much anymore. But sure. You know, when I was studying in college, you know, all of my interactions with the professor that I worked with were, you know, we talked to each other in Irish. I wrote my response papers in Irish, and it's we didn't really, English between us was not really a thing that we did.
So. Wow. And with that, with the writing in Irish or mm-hmm. typing or emailing or whatever it would be in Irish, is there, I don't even know, I haven't seen it written, I don't think. So are there different characters as well? I mean, obviously, there is, I assume it's a Latinized alphabet now.
Right.
So, but are there different stresses or strophes or something that we... Yeah.
There are, it's the alphabet has been Romanized and then further Romanized in the 1940s, where you don't really see the Gaelic fonts on typewriters anymore and things like that. So okay. you don't really need a specialized keyboard.
You don't.
With the exception of there are long marks on some of the vowels, and that can be accomplished by, I'm trying to figure out and envision a keyboard, and I think it's Alt and then the apostrophe and then the vowel, I think, sure. is how you obtain the long mark. So it's not that difficult to do.
Okay, very good. And this is, as you're saying, this is still a language that's used.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's,
yeah.
It's a modern language.
There's a radio stations and there's a television station. Yeah.
Wow. And you mentioned already one area, but are there places that, I mean, is this pretty much anywhere we go in Ireland that we might encounter modern Irish, or is there particular pockets of it?
Particular pockets, and you would almost have to already know that it's there, is the monoglots are almost extinct, so anyone that you meet who speaks Irish as a native language, almost all of them also speak English as a native language, so that the language is actually changing very rapidly.
Interesting.
Where the last time I did a homestay, you know, the Irish that the father spoke is not the same Irish that the youngest of his seven children spoke.
Yeah, yeah. And given that we're obviously a Catholic radio
sure.
show on a Catholic radio station, just curious as to your own take on what's the health of the Catholic Church now in Ireland, or what's been in your encounter there?
Well, there are those that would say it's on the verge of collapse. I guess my own experience is... it's been years and years and years since I've had occasion to attend a mass in Ireland. I think, like many places in the world, and probably like the United States, mm-hmm. I think the Catholic Church is probably getting, for lack of a better analogy, leaner and meaner.
Mm. Leaner and meaner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that actually resonates well with something that Pope Benedict said. Sometime during his papacy, anyway, was that he was fully expecting the church of the future, of the 21st century, even in our day, and to become smaller yet more devout,
sure.
as it were. So, yeah, leaner and meaner. If that's the way you're intending it, then
exactly.
All right. Well, so if somebody might have heard your beautiful words and it's decided, you know, I want to learn, because that's how you said. You said you heard a few words and
sure.
you intrigued you, and so they went and picked up a book. But now we have the wonders of the internet and everything.
Exactly.
Is there any particular place that we could go to if somebody just want to, if they want to see it written, if they want to learn how to say a few phrases, or it might even kick off into a lifetime of study? Any particular places you would go?
Well, let's see. I guess for someone who might be interested in pursuing a little bit of study, there's a fantastic organization in the Twin Cities called Gotthard, Minnesota, and they've been putting classes on offer once a week for free of charge for since, I believe, 1981.
Wow.
And I think these days, I think before you actually attend their classes, I think there's an introductory community education class that they ask you to take,
okay.
but for the web address would be gaelmin.org, and that's gaelmin.org.
Okay.
And they're a fantastic bunch of people, and they, you know, I mentioned a few moments ago the Irish Fair of Minnesota, which, you know, everything from the national global music acts to these local cultural organizations, and they always have a booth, and they're just a wonderful bunch of people. So
okay.
that would be one local resource, and they're very good at ferreting out other resources. So
okay,
but that would be a resource that would be readily available to.
Sure. The website one more time is GAEL
minn.org.
Excellent. Wow. Wonderful. So quickly before you go,
sure.
Is there any particular way of saying goodbye that's most common?
Slán.
Say it again.
Slán.
Slán.
Right. That would be the most, there are some elaborate rules as to whether I'm saying goodbye to you and then I'm leaving or saying goodbye to you and you're leaving, but the most, and it's just simply a word that means safe. So it's a wish of safety.
Isn't that similar to what the word is when you cheers?
When you raise a glass, yeah, slánce, which is health. You? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, health. So it would be derivative of the same word.
Well, slánce to you and slán. Thank you, Daniel, so much. Thanks for being on the show this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
It's great to have Daniel and to hear these words on St. Patrick's Day of all days, of course, entirely appropriate. We are going to be back after this with His Excellency Archbishop Flynn, so please stay with us.
This is Janice at Seedlings Gifts and Books in Chanhassen. It is a wonderful time of year for gift giving, and we would love to have you stop in at Seedlings and let us help you find that perfect gift for yourself, your family, and loved ones. And visit us during Lent. It's a great time for you to enhance your relationship with Christ with a good Lenten book for you, a friend, or someone in your family. And perhaps you need a baby gift, memorial gift, First Communion, or confirmation gift for those upcoming important events. We have many to choose from. We would love to meet you. Come in soon and let us help you at Seedlings, located right next to the historic Chanhassen Dinner Theater in Chanhassen. We have great new gift items arriving daily. And mention that you heard us on Relevant Radio and receive a complimentary gift with your purchase. And visit our website at seedlingsgiftsandbooks.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. It's been a great St. Patrick's Day show thus far, and it only stands to improve now as we welcome into the studio His Excellency Archbishop Harry J. Flynn. Archbishop Flynn was born in Schenectady, New York in 1933. He was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Albany in 1960. He became the diocese seventh archbishop, archdiocese seventh archbishop here in St. Paul, Minneapolis, on September 8th, 1995. He's known for his pastoral kindness to individual people. He's deeply devoted to the spiritual formation of clergy, religious, and of laity. And he retired as the Archbishop of the Archdiocese on his birthday, May 2nd, 2008, after serving over 12 years here, but he continues to serve as Archbishop Emeritus. Your Excellency, it's a privilege and an honor to have you on the show this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Patrick, and it's a great privilege to be on this show on this great feast day, St. Patrick's.
Amen. Yes. Hey, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I am a four-cornered Irishman.
Okay. What does that mean?
On all sides. Mother
oh, I
and
see.
Father, grandparents, every one of them.
That's
from
great.
From Ireland.
Yeah. Straight from Ireland.
Well, grandparents.
Yeah,
yes.
Grandparents. Wow. Amazing. And they made their way over here, and now we're blessed to have you here and all of your service that you've done for the Archdiocese. So, I wanted to ask, do you have any then, with having this four-cornered Irishness about you, any specific St. Patrick's Day traditions personally?
None personally. I always enjoy celebrating the Mass at the Cathedral when I was here.
Right.
But then when I was in New York and Emmitsburg and other places, in Lafayette, Louisiana, I had my own celebration, if you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
Corned beef and cabbage.
Right.
And then just a few friends in or something like that.
Right.
But I always, always enjoy the liturgy at the cathedral on this morning.
Right. Yes. And well, we thank you for being with us here in the station. I know you and I have to miss that Mass this year, but it's going on right now at the cathedral, and I'm sure that they're honoring the Lord and the Irish as well. So, Archbishop, having served the Archdiocese for over 20 years as the Archbishop and now the Archbishop Emeritus, what's your sense of specifically Irish Catholicism in this archdiocese? I know it has a long history, but how is that history still living itself out and influencing the way we live our faith here in this archdiocese now?
Well, we have sections of the archdiocese which were founded really by Irish immigrants.
Mm.
Shieldsville would be one.
Okay.
Kilkenny would be another. And then St. Paul, the city of St. Paul, seems to have a great number of Irish via the city of Minneapolis.
Mm.
And that's not to say that there aren't Irish in Minneapolis or there aren't other nationalities in St. Paul, but it seems to, St. Paul seems to have attracted the Irish. And the St. Paul, or the St. Patrick's Day Parade, really gets off to a good start in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. No question. I remember one year my wife and I were driving back in on a St. Patrick's Day, but we had forgotten it was St. Patrick's Day, and I said, I just need to run through downtown St. Paul very quickly. And it was that year when St. Patrick's Day, I think, was almost 70 degrees out, and we pulled into St. Paul, and we spent probably over an hour getting through the streets of St. Paul because everybody was out and celebrating. So there's the mass, there's the parade, and then there's just a great era of celebration, which
That's right.
hopefully, at least in some ways, is in honor of St. Patrick himself. So in your opinion, do the Irish and specifically, well, obviously in and through yourself, but those of Irish heritage, do they have something unique to offer Catholicism in general? I mean, what do you think the Irish have to offer specifically to the world of Catholicism?
Well, when I say this, I am not in any way minimizing the contribution of other nationalities as far as the faith is concerned. The Polish people, the Italian people, the Germans, Slovaks, various nationalities have done a tremendous amount to encourage the faith in various countries.
Sure.
And I would have known the Irish to have done this in a beautiful way, because I was bishop in Lafayette, Louisiana, for 8 happy years. And we had the largest African-American Catholic population in the nation.
That's great.
And St. Catherine Drexel, the multimillionaires from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, founded the Order of the Blessed Sacrament to educate African-Americans and Native Americans. And she went to Ireland and found all these young women who were willing to come to the United States. And I remember vividly at a luncheon one day, which I hosted for the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, all of whom were from Ireland, who came to join Catherine Drexel's order in Philadelphia, and then were missioned in Louisiana, having them for lunch. And there was a sister, Patrice, there who told me a story that touched my heart. She left Ireland to come to the United States on the very morning her father was buried. They had the mass in the church, and after the mass, the mother and family and friends went up the hill to the cemetery, and her mother took her in her arms and said, "Now go and do what you must do for God."
Wow.
And she walked down the hill to the train station and got on the train to go to Cork and then to the United States, and then ministered for the Native Americans in Arizona and Oklahoma, and then also the African Americans in Louisiana. But the Irish had it in them to bring that faith to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, who is the patron saint of Nigeria? Question. It's St. Patrick. Believe
it, really?
It or not, it's St. Patrick because of the Irish missionaries.
Wow.
And they named him as the patron saint. And I always would enjoy asking some young man or woman who was going to be confirmed as Patrick and take that name, I would always enjoy saying, "Well, St. Patrick is patron of what country?"
Mm-hmm.
And they would say Ireland, which is correct,
right.
But Nigeria too, because they had it in them to go to other countries and bring that faith to those countries. Now, unfortunately, Ireland, because of many reasons, is suffering as far as the faith is concerned.
Right.
There was a terrible turnaround in that country, and there were some unfortunate incidents which occurred, which disillusioned so many of the Irish people. But I would dare say it's deeper than that. There was an alignment between the government and the church in Ireland. It was almost as one.
Right.
And that is never, never good.
Right.
And when that breaks apart, so many things break apart. The church should be here, the government should be here, respecting one another, but never acting as one.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood was shed on the Easter Monday of 1916, and I always call them the martyrs of 1916, because every one of them was martyred, killed, really, because of the uprising at the post office, except Countess Markovitz and De Valera. Mm. And Countess Markovitz was not shot because she was a woman, and she held out in St. Stephen's Green, right in the center of Dublin. Mm. And De Valera was not shot because he was born in the United States in New York, and he was an American citizen.
Oh, wow.
So those were the only two who were not. But the others were men, and literary men, and men of great education. The Pierce brothers, for instance. Padraic Pearse and his brother were both shot, and he could hear his brother being led out to be shot and knowing that he would be next to be led out of his cell. But they wrote beautifully and poignantly out of that pain and the execution they were facing. Padraic Pearse wrote that beautiful poem, The Fool. And then he writes in that, but what if my dream comes true? What if my dream comes true and Ireland is freed? Well, his dream did come true, but they paid an horrific price for it.
Right.
And I salute the present Queen of England who went to that prison, went to the place where they were shot, and did them homage just a couple of years ago when she visited Ireland.
Wow. And that's it's such a tremendously moving story, well, a grouping of stories there that you gave us. Thank you for those, Archbishop. And speaking of going to Ireland, as Her Majesty did, I presume you have been to Ireland a number of times yourself?
I've been to Ireland many, many times, and I love it more each time I go. I went in the not-too-distant past with Dr. Daly and his wife. Peter Daly wanted to visit his cousin, Sister Berkman, a Sister of Mercy in Dundalk. And while I was there, interestingly enough, I met another Sister, Monica, and she came up to me and she said, would you be knowing Tim Dolan? Oh, I said, I know him very well, the present Cardinal of New York.
Right.
Well, she said, I was the principal of the school in St. Louis, which he attended.
Really?
And she said, I hired him during the summer to scrub the floors. And every time I looked out, he was leaning on the scrubber. And I said, Tim, get to work, you lazy thing. Well, I told Tim Dolan this story in the presence of other bishops, and he responded with that Irish wit that he has.
Yeah.
And he said, you and Sister Monica would be much better off if you were to stop telling that story.
I guess we won't know now since you're still telling it, obviously.
That's right.
Wonderful. Well, Cardinal Dolan, if you happen to hear this, then just know that your good friend Archbishop Flynn is still telling the story. So I'll let him get in touch with you about that. Archbishop, we've got a few minutes left here before we need to draw the show to a close. So going back to your visits to Ireland, if someone were to make their own personal pilgrimage to Ireland, I know there are many pilgrimages that go to Ireland themselves, but so there's a set course that they take through the country. But are there specific places that you would be suggesting that Catholics would go to live out the faith, to encounter the faith in Ireland?
Well, I would suggest if they go to Dublin, which they probably would, that they go to some of the Catholic churches which are not on the front main streets.
Okay.
Because they were not permitted to build them there. And I would suggest that they go to the churches that are on side streets. That's where they were ordered to build them, and pray for the church in Ireland and pray for the faith of the people in Ireland, that it will come back with an exuberance and a depth. Because that faith helped people to go out and do so many beautiful things for God.
Yeah.
And that faith seems to be sleeping now.
Mm.
And it's my hope and prayer that it will come alive and be as vibrant as it has been in the past, touching other nations, touching other people, so that St. Patrick would be proud of the whole crowd of them.
Amen to that. So in that same vein, then, do you have anything that you wish to convey to the faithful of this archdiocese to help rouse us and bring us, whether we're Irish or not, but on the St. Patrick's Day, any personal message that you'd like to give?
Yes, to the faithful of this archdiocese, I would suggest that we remember the Irish people who came here and how different they were and how different they were in their religion. And I would suggest that we remember this in our discussions on immigration and our discussions concerning welcoming our Muslim brothers and sisters and people who are different than we are,
right,
and welcoming them as the Irish many times were not welcomed, but finally made their foundation here, and then had such powerful and wonderful effects on this country, on this archdiocese, and on the people with whom they lived and worked every single day.
Wonderful message. And just in closing, Archbishop, thank you again so much for being here, but could we ask for your blessing as well?
Yes. Everyone who is with Relevant Radio, I ask God to bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I offer that blessing for all your listeners, too.
Amen. Thank you, Archbishop Flynn, so much for joining us. I wish we had more time, but it's been great to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are going to be back in just a bit with some upcoming events going on in and around the Archdiocese to spur us on further in faith. So stay with us.
Bridgestone's variety of dualer tires for trucks, crossovers, and SUVs are designed to be rugged and tough, yet provide a comfortable driving experience. Whether you're commuting on the highway or driving on gravel roads, we've got the tires to fit the way you drive. Get Bridgestone dualer tires, available at Westside Tire. Call 763-420-2100 for Bridgestone tires for your truck, SUV, or crossover today. They'll take care of you. In this season, your car's tires and brakes are especially important. Add potholes or sliding into a curb, and you can instantly wreak havoc on your car or truck's alignment. The champions of service at Westside Tire in Corcoran can fix the problems of lack of traction, stopping, or alignment. Come and see the team at Westside Tire for whatever the road throws at you. Just west of 494 off Highway 55 in Corcoran. Call 763-420-2100. Westside Tire, they'll take care of you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Paul.
And I thank you.
Very good. We've got some things going on.
Lots of things. Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message proclaiming to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
The Church of St. Michael's in St. Michael is offering a retreat for girls in grades 9 to 12 on Saturday, March 25th at 9:30 a.m. and ends by noon. The retreat will be on chastity and being pro-life with presentations by Michelle Steele and Angela Viljeski, and there is no cost to attend. Parents and mentors are encouraged to join. For more information, visit stmcatholicchurch.org and RSVP to the email taketimeforhim@tds.net.
The first Saturday mornings of recollection at the Cathedral of St. Paul are mini retreats in accord with Our Lady's instruction at Fatima, designed to foster greater devotion, understanding, and living out of the gospel of Christ in the world. Saturday, April 1st, you're invited to hear Sister Eileen with Pro Ecclesia Sancta. Sister Eileen will offer two conferences on the adventure of holiness and obstacles in our path to holiness, lack of love. The morning of recollection begins with 8 a.m. Mass, concludes with exposition at noon. For more information, visit the events page on archspm.org or visit cathedralstpaul.org.
Lectio Divina is Latin for divine reading, meaning to pray with Scripture. By stilling your soul and opening it up to the Holy Spirit, you will find that reading, meditation, prayer, and contemplation, the four steps of Lectio Divina, will open your heart to receive the truths that Jesus wants to show you. The Office of Evangelization and Catechesis invites you to a Lectio Divina workshop with Father Peter Williams at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. The workshop runs from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Sunday, April 9th. A light dinner will be served and a free will offering will be accepted. Register online by visiting the events page on rediscover-faith.org.
The Servants of the Cross Group is a Catholic nonprofit organization with families from multiple parishes participating in the 19th annual Living Stations of the Cross. It'll be at three locations on Good Friday, April 4th. They'll reenact the Passion of Jesus Christ at noon at St. Jude of the Lake in Matamidi, at 3 p.m. at the Church of St. Rita in Cottage Grove, 7 p.m. at the Church of the Blessed Sacrament in St. Paul. For more information, visit servantsofthecrossmn.com.
Pro-Life Across America invites you to their 20th annual banquet on Wednesday, April 19th at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. Bring your family and friends and celebrate a culture of life with featured speaker Archbishop Hebda. The RSVP is requested by April 10th, and the event begins at 5:45 with dinner at 6:30 p.m. The cost is $60 per person. Please call Christine at 612-782-9434. That's 612-782-9434 to make a reservation.
Fantastic show.
Yeah, wasn't that fun? Oh, my goodness.
I confess I don't have a drop of Irish blood in me.
Well,
but my daughter does by way of her maternal grandmother.
Well, we'll count that. Everybody has a little bit Irish.
So does my daughter's husband.
Oh, well, that's very good,
they're
too.
Going back to Ireland at the end of this month.
Oh, nice.
Now, what's up next week on the Rediscover
Hour? Well, next week, we're going to talk about complementarity with Deacon Joseph Mahalik. Deacon Mahalik is the director of the Institute for Diaconate Formation at the St. Paul Seminary. We'll also talk with Veronica Jansuk, who works for FEM in New York. FEM is a comprehensive women's health program with the goal of empowering women in the achievement of their health and reproductive goals by helping them gain a better understanding of their biology. That's what's coming up next week. Until then, have a happy St. Patrick's Day. And my friends, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.